We're reconvening the KPFA local station board meeting of June 15th. And it is 1:33. And we're going to ask, did Donald have a report for us, a Pacific and National Board report?
Okay, well, you heard the financial aspect of what's going on in the network. So what I'm going to try to give you is a couple of other themes which intersect, because finances don't sit alone. They come out of other problematics in the network. And the key, of course, as everybody here understands, and especially those of you who do programming, understand that programming drives whatever's going to happen at a radio station. So if you have good programming, then you have listenership. If you have listenership, you have finances to support the station. If you have poor programming, you have poor outcomes in terms of finances, in terms of listenership. So something I proposed on the programming committee of the PNB is that we should do an evaluation of the morning drive times of every station in the network, the 6 to 9 a.m. slots, and have one person from each station who's on this programming committee form a subcommittee, and they have to objectively evaluate what's going on during those morning drive time hours, because every radio professional understands that morning drive time is the key to holding on to listenership throughout the rest of the day. So if you have quality programming on in the morning hours, you're going to tend to hold on to your listenership throughout the day, because they're driving, they're pushing buttons, or they're at home eating breakfast, right? So that's when you have, quote, a captive audience, and if they like what they hear, they're going to stay with you. If they don't like what they hear, they're going to push the button and go to another station. So in my mind, programming is the key to understanding how we stabilize the network and revive the network. So as most of you probably are aware, a recent Gallup poll said that 43% of Americans are self-identifying as some form of socialist. So my humble request is, can we get 2% of those folks listening to the only progressive radio network in the station, in the country? You know, that's sort of a modest goal of, like, what do we need to do to capture that listenership? And the key is really quality programming in the morning hours to start with. And actually, our executive director has also been pushing the concept of what he calls strip programming, meaning you have the same show on every day in the same slot 5 days a week. Turns out he didn't know that KPFA was doing that. That's exactly what we do. If you're listening to those shows starting at 6 in the morning through 1 in the afternoon, you have consistency of on-air hosts. The same show is on every day, at least Monday through Thursday. None of the other stations in the network do that. None. So that's the first thing that I've been pushing in terms of programming. I don't want to go into more detail at this point because it's still early on. I've only been on the board for 2 months, as have my compete. Well, no, Sabrina and Chris have been on, and so has Tom. So I guess I'm the new voice. The second issue I wanted to address was audits, but Sharon already did that, so we don't need to repeat that. The third issue was the loan interest payment, and Sharon already covered that in depth. And we're not going to be able to do, how do I say this? We're not going to be able to repay this loan until we get competent programming at every station, so that every station is producing their share of revenue. And if they cannot do that, if we can't somehow figure out how to help our sister stations in the network achieve a certain level of radio competency, then more drastic measures would be necessary. And I won't spell them out at this point because we're not quite there yet, and I'm still getting my feet wet on this national board. And I want to know where the other members are of the PNB this morning. They're not on the call. Tom's on. Thank you, Tom. The last issue I wanted to mention is governance issues. I'm going to start to push real hard for a serious conversation about the governance of Pacifica. I don't know if I'll get anywhere, but I think we need to push that conversation because the structure that was set up with these bylaws in 2000 really are not capable of sustaining a nonprofit board of directors of a media enterprise. And I think the people who were involved in that early on now recognize that. And so we really are going to need to figure out an alternative governance structure sooner rather than later. And having just said that, I will say that right now, the PNB Board of Directors is functioning. We are having civil and civilized conversations when we meet. But what's also clear to me is that when people are elected to the PNB, the question of what skill sets they bring to this board of directors really fluctuates quite widely. And there, I guess I will call myself and a couple of other people are media professionals who are on the PNB, but for the most part, they're not. So that's a real problem in terms of bringing people up to speed about how to think about things, aside from finances and are we drowning? question is, how do you stabilize? So that's what I'm dealing with, and I'm sorry that Tom, did you want to add anything?
Well, the first of all, I need to apologize a little bit in that I've been pretty well maxed out dealing with Pacifica affiliate stations, technical advances and problems and things like that, and I'm pretty much going to be up to my eyeballs in that through the rest of the year, including a trip to Puerto Rico to try to get WQVR back up to full power again, et cetera, et cetera. I can say that the technical task force is scheduled to have it first meeting this coming Wednesday, and hopefully at our next LSB, I'll have a report on where that is. I am aware that Brian David is making some, your station chief engineer is making some progress towards converting the station from analog to digital. Beyond that, I don't have a lot to say except to apologize again that I've had a hard time keeping up with everything. I am aware that there is some effort going into figuring out how we're going to deal with the finances when they start to get more critical in October. Grace Aaron is working on that pretty hard, although I don't have any details to report. So that's about it for me at this point.
Thanks, Tom. I do have one other item, which is that we did vote that we want the Pacifica Network to engage in promoting voter registration across the country. We think that democracy needs to be expanded, not contracted in these moments. And as a 501c3 organization, we're going to try to connect with other 501c3 organizations that are involved in voter registration across the country and see how we can promote that across the network in a regular basis from now through the elections.
Thank you for your reports. I already have a stack. It's been going. That's okay. I would say I really respect the fact that you went to Puerto Rico. I would thank you from the bottom of my heart for going there to help out. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. So you're doing really important work, and we appreciate that. Tim was the next on the stack.
So I just wanted to comment on some of the programming things that you talked about, and this leads to a conversation that we started in the deli. How do we get newer, younger listeners to join? And I think one thing the program community might want to look at is how do we make more of our real-time programming available as podcasts as well as real-time programming. I don't know about you, but you know, I watch a lot of like the Netflix and other streaming services, and it doesn't depend on the time. I don't have to tune in at Wednesday at 8 o'clock to hear the program. I hear the program when it fits my schedule, and we don't have it well. We don't do it well. We don't do it in a way enough, and it should be more automatic, and it should be more publicized. So I think it's something we can do more aggressively, despite the fact that there is some start towards that. I like the idea of also, I would hope that the programming committee might work with engineering in some way to make more repeaters. I think one of the reasons that KPFA is so successful is because we have repeaters up and down the coast, and we cover such a wide swath of the region. I'm not sure some of our other, I think we could even cover a wider swath better, and that some of our other stations in the network might benefit from that as well, as a sort of a low-cost way of reaching more people without getting more stations. Lastly, this is an idea. I don't know if I've mentioned this one before, but I'm just going to keep throwing it out until hopefully somebody runs with it. Everyone in the world just about has one of these phones. Everyone, right? If there was an FM chip active in these telephones, radio would be a lot more successful. And I think we need a national movement, to make it a law that it has to be activated. And I think the reason it should be a law isn't just to save FM. When it's a public emergency situation, right? When the internet goes down, there's no way to get information to people through these phones unless they have an FM chip in them. So as a public safety measure, phones should, and I think I would like to see the national board reach out to other stations and other networks to try and push this idea. It is real. The public safety implications are real, but that will also, I think, help save FM radio.
That's a great idea.
Keep putting that out there till hopefully something happens.
All right. Thank you, Tim. And Susan was next.
Yeah, I love the idea of the FM chip. Another idea is, and this is the way to get paid for content, would be, you know, to negotiate with Sirius or whatever. There could be like a Pacifica channel on Sirius, and I think they would pay us for the content. And that, you know, we talk about drive time. I think it's great to talk about drive time, but, you know, none of the new cars have radios. They don't have regular radios. They just get Sirius or whatever. So
that's true. Thank you. Sharon is next.
Okay, get into it. All right, I just won't talk that long. Okay, so here we go. All right. I agree. I just want to say something on programming also. First of all, I do think we should come into the modern age by having internet searchable segments. So, you know, we already have our archives. I mean, we don't have to call them podcasts. We have the archives, and we could have if there was a way to have the segments searchable by search terms, I think we would get a larger audience drawn to our station and to Pacifica in general. But whenever people talk about increasing programming, I always get the, not whenever, but a lot of people within Pacifica seem to have this feeling like, oh, if we could just sort of go back to some time in the past and, you know, have that kind of programming, we'll have this huge audience. And what I really wish people across the Pacifica network would do is start looking at where programming is increasing. Because I have recently, as I've said before, become sort of a YouTube aficionado, and I have found many, many voices that have massively increasing audiences now. They are increasing their audiences, and they're progressive people. They include Tim Pool, Nico House, Jimmy Dore. Now, these people don't express a lot of the, I'll just say it, politically correct views that are often espoused within the Pacifica network, but they are still progressives. And there's something called the Overton window, which is the window of permissible discourse. And Tim Pool has shown numerous times that the Overton window has decreased dramatically. So in other words, even though we call ourselves the free speech network, not just within Pacifica, but within the progressive movement as a whole, what is an acceptable range of opinions has been limited. And, for one example, Russiagate is a perfect example of that. What was acceptable, what was not acceptable, what was being pushed, what was not being pushed. Also, having a true anti-war, anti-regime change as being the motivating force behind our programming. So I just really encourage people to look to where the audience is growing.
Thank you, Sharon.
Overton window.
Andrea?
On pushing for voter registration, Don, can nonprofits do that? Is it just strictly from an advocacy standpoint?
It's neutral.
It is neutral. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And James, you're next.
Just a couple things. One, since I'm new to this, it'd be helpful to know what sort of tracking of shows and listenership, people that listen, and associated donations go with that. And I assume that there is stuff that's done around that at the national level and at the local level, and it'd be good for me to just to know how that operates. But on a related thing, which was just to kind of echo what Tim said, is that to reach younger people, people want to listen at when it's convenient for them. And in a lot of, I'm on a lot of listservs that basically put out highlights. So they'll have particular stories that they'll highlight, for the week. And it would be, I think, useful if, at least, and I don't know, maybe we already have this, but as far as I know, we don't, is to have something that said, these were kind of, like, we had a key guest, at KPFA, and have the link to that so you could listen to that. And kind of had a short list of things for that week, or maybe they reflect, the last 5 or 6 days, that kind of, where somebody could go to it very easily, and on their phone they could click on it, or on a computer they could get access to those key shows that are really powerful, that make us so different than NPR and other things. And I think that would be, and to have those not only available perhaps just at KPFA, but also at other, it wouldn't be just local silo specific, that they were kind of available within the whole network. And if you had at the end of those things, if you could track that, and if you also had, like, if somebody donates afterward, that would be, you can track that, would be really interesting information on how to change the programming over time.
Great ideas. Did you want to comment on that, Donald?
Yeah.
On the first part, actually, we're going to start having, and in some cases we already do, beginning to have Nielsen and Arbitron tracking of shows across each station and each hour. So our executive director has been moving to implement that. And you can ask him more about that when he's here. about how far it's gotten so far. So that is beginning to occur. We really will have an understanding of which shows are listened to and which are not. But of course, then you get into the issue. Well, if shows are not being listened to, how do you replace them? Right? And how many factions are going to arise opposing the removal of a show because of non-performance and no audience? So, and in terms of your second question, Jim, actually, Carol, correct me on this. Isn't there going to be a newsletter sending out weekly highlights of what's going on shows? What was that conversation about the other day?
Oh.
That Vera was looking into?
I'm not sure.
I do know that. I mean, I received the, probably everybody else did, that the newsletter that Quincy sends out, you know, I'm not sure if it's monthly, I guess, but highlighting, you know, here's what we've been doing lately, and here's what we've, you know, here's how we are, kind of a reading, you know, in general of the station and new things that have come up and things that they've done and accolades and stuff. And so that's sort of like start, but I hear that you're more expansive, and I think that you have some really good ideas. So we'll see how that goes. We have... Carol, you're next.
Shira was on the phone.
Shira go next.
Oh, okay. Just so you know, she was waiting.
Oh, I didn't know. Go ahead, Shira.
Okay, I appreciate it. Just to make sure, we're a part of the agenda where we're talking about outreach and fundraising? Or just programming. I'm sorry.
We're
on my phone, so it's a bit different.
That's okay. We're still on the PMB reports. Questions and answers and such.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
I had a couple comments to Andrea. One of the parts of the coverage that will be done about the voter education will be also voter suppression. Mm. There's a book that was written, One Person, No Vote. By Carol Anderson, who also wrote White Rage, and I think those are, you know, it would be great for us to begin to put together resources about voting and voter suppression and different people. Mm-hmm. Kat Brooks did a great show last week about the black census that was done, and it has a lot of voter information. And I think that was Tuesday or something. Anyway, it was in the archives.
It was good.
Yeah. I wanted to say for the new members that there are 300 Pacifica affiliates, and part of what Tom has done has been great, going around to different parts of the country. And their KPFA was given a special reward from the Federation of Community Radio Stations recently, and I wondered in a minute, Tom, if you could comment on if you went to that conference and tell us a little bit about it. And there's a couple other things. I think it's important. I know that there is the Manhattan Neighborhood Network that has been trying to acquire WBAI without paying for it, and it's my understanding that's a huge issue that we need to be aware of as well in terms of finance, and that there is a large contingent of programmers and producers who are wanting to pull WBAI out of the network without paying for it. So just to be aware of that. Okay.
Thank you. Tom, did you want to answer the question that Carol had, if you went to that particular forum?
Yeah, I did not get there.
Okay, thank you. Steve, you were next.
Yeah, the last time that Maxie was here,
Quincy.
Hello, it is? Okay, the last time Maxie was here, he said he supported more multimedia and live programming. And I've been involved in covering the teachers' strikes around and interviewing them and that kind of thing. And the fact of the matter is, if we had some live streaming from teachers' rallies, teachers' press conferences, we'd get a bigger audience. A lot more teachers would be aware of KPFA and supportive of KPFA. So I think we should look at what's going on, the struggles that are going on, how we can interact with them and use our programming platform to start to use, and I'm glad to hear that there may be digitalizing the two channels, because that will allow more programming. I agree with Sharon, there's some very good programs on. Black Agenda Report could be on. One of the issues with some of these programs is there's a language issue. And, you know, Jimmy Dorett, you know, language. And if we do broadcast that, we'll have a problem. However, one of the things I think we have to do is develop a multimedia Pacifica platform that's streamed live. And that wouldn't be covered by the FCC. And that could have programming that would otherwise be unavailable in the broadcast platform. So I do think that there are lots of possibilities. There's new programming, and it's very popular. Hundreds of thousands of viewers are listening to Jimmy Dore and other programmers. So I think we should look at that and find a way to integrate that into the Pacifica platform, so our audience would grow actually significantly if we're able to do that. The other thing, I understand that there was a financial problem, and I don't know if we can talk about that in open session. Financial mismanagement of some funds of Pacifica. And if that's the case, I think that has to be addressed, because people talk about money missing, people taking money from Pacifica. From my point of view, if somebody takes money illegally from Pacifica, they need to be prosecuted. Okay. That's my view.
Donald, did you want to respond?
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I think that being able to do multimedia platforms is a goal that we want to achieve. But the constraints that we are under, and this is not to deflect your thrust, I agree with you. I think, you know, as a video producer, I have a feel for what that should look like. But the constraints on resources in this network, you heard the financial report earlier. So when you talk about doing it, what we'd have to envision is who is able, who has the time, who has the resources and the capacity to actually do that on a regular basis. And that includes not just live streaming, but it includes editing at some point. And it includes really us being able to do further outreach on social media, which is really, you mentioned YouTube earlier. Obviously, that's a huge platform where progressive people are video casting, if you will. They're live mm-hmm. streaming. So the real issue is to make all of our shows available on demand, which is essentially what television has been doing already for 10, 15 years. So we need to have a similar capacity to have on-demand programming as well as live streaming of both radio and audiovisual.
Thank you, Donald. Richard?
Insofar as I know, every single talk show on KPFA is also a podcast. And insofar as I know, you can just type in on iTunes, which will become iTunes podcast or whatever, and you will get to programs on demand. This has not been publicized enough, but we already are there. Your program is there. Have you looked for it on iTunes? It's all there. We have. Oh, cool. Sure. I mean, we have a lot there. One of the issues which he brings up is personnel. We would love you. Don. What you were talking about, James, is something. We have a person who is dealing with social media, okay, and we can do some of this. The difficulty, as Don points out, is that all of this takes time and effort from individual people. One of the problems we have is we simply don't have the personnel. It would be great, for example, if we had a person paid full-time or part-time to just do the website, just keep that website front page going. That would be great. The money doesn't exist for that, and that's a real problem. And one of the reasons that money is going toward certain programmers is because of what Don said, which is the strip programming of Mitch Jezerich, of the morning show, of the noon show. All of that brings in people on a regular basis. And, you know, it's a question of one thing, the other. We don't have the money for both. It's a problem, and it's always been a problem.
That's it. Thank you, Richard.
Shira says back.
Thank you. I think that, did you have another, did I put you down twice, James, or did you want to speak again? Thank you. Sharon was next then, and then Shira.
Okay, I did want to say, James, I don't know if you know about kpftx.org. I believe you can go there and see the, it's just online, but it will give you online, it will give you information about how many people are listening to the various stations online. It's just online listening, so you can find that there. Stats.pacifica.org. Sorry, wrong website. And I also wanted to just say about Jimmy Dore and the language issue. You know, he actually started on KPFK out of L.A., so, and he's actually available through AudioPort. And what I find so maybe just like ironically somewhat upsetting is that he has gone on to have a huge audience, and he started within our network. And we did not recognize the talent that we had and that could have been broadcast across the network to really increase our listenership. I find that just such a missed opportunity. And so I don't know what to say. I just always keep thinking about that and like how we sort of missed that opportunity. And I just want to give a shout out to, I understand the live streaming concept and a lot of that, and there's a lot of issues with it. But as far as one person that also comes up to this area or has, well, is a YouTube personality that I also watch, which is Graham Elwood, who actually flew up here for the Julian Assange live stream. I saw his live stream. I saw Ann Garrison on his live stream. That was actually a pretty good live stream. But he has his own audience that he brought. And so, you know, I keep thinking, well, maybe we should try to get Graham Elwood on the air. You know, we should look to people that have a separate audience and see if we could bring them to our network to create our overall audience.
Donald?
Is somebody on the stack? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry. She's Shira. Invisible. Shira. Shira.
Hi, yes. Actually, as an invisible person, that's actually what my comment has a lot to do with. It seems that when we have an agenda, a lot of what's being spoken about isn't actually speaking to the agenda point. And as somebody, especially who's on the phone, it's very frustrating, especially to keep up. So right now it sounds like we're talking about programming in general. But I think that if we're going to have a real conversation around programming, that should be an agenda item, especially if we're talking about what it's actually capable in terms of things like video strategy and whatnot, what the actual costs are, or manpower, or things like that. Thank you.
Sure. Understand, that makes sense to me totally, just to understand that Donald is on the programming committee for, yeah, and, oh, okay. 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 And so are you, Shira. Hey. It's like, sorry. So we're sort of, like, it's kind of segued into the Pacifica reports. Sometimes things get a bit fungible here, but I hear what you're saying. Go ahead, Donald.
Yes. So, But I like Shira's point that perhaps we can devote part of our next meeting to just talking about programming ideas, including what Steve raised earlier, what Sharon's raising. Shira, I know, has a bunch of ideas. I have a few of my own, which I will not reveal yet.
Sounds great.
But I will. But just to give you a sense of what Sharon was talking about, so now on KPFK, they have grabbed somebody from the internet who used to be on Air America, Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller's show is now on the air at 7 a.m. on KPFK every morning. It's now the most popular show on KPFK, having been on there for all of 7 weeks.
Wow. Okay, Air America. I won't say anything. All right. So James had something to say.
As I was listening, I was trying to sort through this, and especially when, you know, I realize there's limited funds, so you can't hire people to do, we have all these great ideas, you know. But in fact, maybe there are resources, there's a way to think about it differently. So it occurred to me that the whole point of the CAB is to empower listenership. And what if the CAB was made responsible for deciding, you know, for rating shows that say these are the highlights for the week or something, and having a list, and all you have to do is update a single page. So if the CAB is a functional CAB and has people paying attention and having input, empower them to have a click on the KPFA website and it says, here are some highlights of the week, go check out these shows. Mickey Huff interviewed this guy, or you know, whatever happened. That would be a way to make the community feel more involved, because at least they would be providing that kind of input.
Thank you. Unless somebody has more on Pacifica reports, maybe we should. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. So there's another election coming up. There is a Pacifica election committee that Aki and I are on. There was going to be a meeting of it. Grace Aaron is the head. The meeting was called, and then it was canceled, presumably because they couldn't figure out who was on the committee from the various stations. And also they hadn't invited Renee, which I objected to. But it will get going, I hope. And I want you all to be aware of the election, because it saves us money if we don't have to extend it and whatever. We need to make quorum. If you know good people who want to run, the registration period's open. It's done a little differently this time, because everything's electronic. I asked Renee what I could do to help, and she's given me an assignment of calling people who don't have email addresses on the list, on KPFA's list, so I'm going to be doing that. But yeah, quorum. We need to get people to vote.
Thank you, Susan. That's really important. Thanks for catching that. Okay, so if we could move on to the next item, not that I don't like being here all day, but we are on old business and the bylaws amendment. And who wanted to speak on that? Were you going to speak on that, Susan, the bylaws amendment?
I can say something about bylaws. I think the governance committee that Don was talking about, that's really important. I didn't really prepare myself to say anything, but I am very interested in bylaws too. I think Noni's also on the governance committee. For the people who are new, kind of the issues about this are, should there be big boards or little boards? Should things be centralized or should they be distributed? In other words, should the center just be a small function, or should the center be strong, the national board? One of the problems with the current bylaws is that it's all kind of ambiguous. So there aren't clear lines of who reports to who, and they kind of want to have it both ways, with a strong center and strong stations. I think it's going to have to be decided to go one way or the other. I don't know. Was there something else you wanted me to say about that?
No, that's what I could ask, if Aki wants to add anything to that, or Noni.
Okay, so we had our first governance committee meeting, and Noni was there. And basically what Noni was stressing that we should have a goal and a timeline for the committee. And one of the ways in which we'll do that is that we'll set up a listserv just for the governance committee. And the main function of that is that all these small issues that different stations have, you know, individuals to know what the issue is, so that this service to have those issues brought up to the committee and then we'll go one by one. That'll be the main mechanism by which some of these amendments and governance changes will be done. So anyway, that was the initial meeting setup.
Thank you, Aki. Did you want to say anything, Noni, or did you have anything to add to that? Yes, Bill?
So the discussion about changing Pacifica's governance has ranged from ending elections and elected directors and ending delegates and ending the LSBs to keeping it the way it is. And so what some people are thinking about, including myself, is keeping the elections, of course, but creating a hybrid board so that every station would elect a director or two, and then there would be at-large directors that would be elected by the membership. One of the problems that I have and other people have with the way this is done is every station gets equal representation on the board, but every station doesn't have the same number of members. So essentially, you get the same number of directors for 3,000 or 4,000 members as you do for 17,000 members. It's a little bit of the United States Senate problem. And so if you created a hybrid board where every station got a director, and then elected directors by LSBs, and then five directors elected by the membership at large, you now have what I think would be a fairer representation on the national board, so that there's some allowance for the fact that some of the stations have a lot more members than other stations. And, I've written this all up and I've sent it out to a few people and stuff like that, but the governance structure has not been effective. It's been more than 15 years that the new structure came into being, and Pacifica is in a great deal of financial trouble. You can, and some years the PNB was totally dysfunctional. It's better now, but it has been just completely dysfunctional. And so it's important to get a much better functioning board than we have, and I think that depends on changing the way the board is, the board members are elected, directors are elected.
Thank you, Bill. Anything else on the bylaws? Yeah, Carol wanted to say.
Yeah, so KPFA has about 17,000 members. KPFK in LA has about, I think around eight. No, WBAI might have about eight, and KPFK has about 12, and KPFT and WBAI both have around 6,000. In the last election, WPFW only had five people nominated out of nine possible. For the local station board. Now, KPFA has the strongest programming, strongest government, and strongest finances, but KPFA has the same number of directors as each of those other stations that are non-functioning. And there is a history of obstruction on the boards. So if you are on any of these boards on the programming committee, we had like a half, you know, maybe 15 minutes of our meeting was used about people talking about whether or not somebody could be the chair of the meeting and why not, because of some past precedent of something that wasn't even in the bylaws. So a lot of time gets wasted through obstruction. And one way to get around that is to have a national election for a bylaws amendment, and this board has already passed in support of this, to have representation be based on the Pacifica National Board, be based on the number of members at each station. So the stations that are doing better have more representation. It's more like one person, one vote. Right now we have kind of a electoral college thing. I'd like to ask for another minute. Is anybody opposed to that?
Is anyone opposed? Okay, go ahead, Carol.
So what I would propose, I mean, we've already passed this, but I'd like to hear some discussion around it because I would like to see if we could be unified in our work on this, if we could work together, if people think this is a good idea, then that would mean we would need to take this to the members and ask them to support this vote and ask them to contribute. And, you know, I would propose that we take it to the members in a serious way and restructure, because I don't think, I like Bill's idea about the at-large, but I don't think that people are going to get out to vote for that. You know, it isn't as understandable and clear for the voters as representational proportion. Thanks.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah, I think we need more participation on the board, and we certainly we need younger people on the board. I mean, most of us are up there, okay? And one of the things I was thinking about with these teachers and the students who are involved, if we had a flyer when there are these struggles going on, talking about KPFA, what we're doing, encouraging people to join, and encouraging them to get involved. I mean, if we cover these different struggles that we're in and try to get people who are in these struggles to look at KPFA, maybe I'll get involved with KPFA. And that is a way of, like, kind of activism, getting people involved who want to participate, not because they want to be on the board, because they represent teachers or they represent different communities that should be represented on the board. I think that would change the dynamic of the board. But we have to face the fact there's a, and Maxie has this, doesn't believe in elected boards. He believes in cap people being appointed to a board and those running the boards. I don't agree with that. I mean, I think we need to have elected boards, and we have to figure out a way or ways to get more people involved, for them to see KPFA as something they want to be involved with. And we have the ability to do that by the kind of programming that we can do that reaches out to these communities. I mean, we never say, for example, when we do a program or something like that on teachers or on these issues, get involved with KPFA. If you want to hear more your voice out, get involved, think about joining the board, that kind of thing. That's a way of, like, connecting the structure of KPFA with what we're doing. And that is the best way, because we want to get people who are in the communities active, thinking about KPFA, how they can get involved in it.
Thank you. If we have nothing more on bylaws, can we move on to fundraising? It's like 2:20 in the afternoon, a little after 2:20. So fundraising, who's going to speak on? Did you want to comment? Go ahead.
Steve, the problem, I agree with you. I agree with everything you've said. The problem is you have to get from point A, which is we should do this, to point B, which is who is going to do this and how is it going to happen, right? And this is the problem with all of Pacifica, is that they say we should do this, but they don't map out how it's going to happen, who is going to do it, and how are we going to get to the next step. And really, for the people here on this board, when you've got suggestions like that, and that's a great one, then you have to say, who is going to do it and how it's going to happen? You have to think about that. And it may be that you are the one who has to do it. And nobody is objecting to that. But this is, I mean, Don and I do something that a lot of people don't do, which is we have to take these problems. I have to turn them, back in the days when I did the folio, I had to turn them into a folio once a month. Don has to make films. We can't take, we should do this. We have to do, this is what we do. And I wish that people would understand that. That's all.
Thank you, Richard. Fundraising, but Darlene isn't here. Did you want to speak on that? Go ahead. Darlene was going to give a presentation on it, but she wasn't able to be here. So why don't we postpone it? But if you want to make a brief comment.
Okay, I'll make it. Okay, hello, how you doing? All right, so I heard a lot of us talking about, like, getting younger people involved or getting just people involved, And I think as far as the not just a fundraising connection, but getting people involved is stuff like the March for Climate Jobs and Justice that just happened in San Francisco, right? That was the largest climate rally on the West Coast, and KPFA didn't do anything. KPFA wasn't there, you know. So if we connect, the only way that they were there was that we did a video streaming broadcast for 2 hours live from the streets. But there was no radio, terrestrial radio broadcast or anything like that. If we used KPFA to help organize the rallies, get people on the air, the only time we really pull together is like a fund drive, right? But if we even pulled together a fraction of what we do for a fund drive to help launch the March for Climate Jobs and Justice by having different people from different organizations on during the week, you know, to build it up and on different shows, get them on Mitch, Chris, whoever we can get on there, this would make the event so much bigger, but it also connect us to these activist communities that have these huge email lists. And when they know that they're going to be on the air that day and that we're participating in making their event big by in the couple weeks leading up, featuring organizations that are involved on the air on a regular basis throughout the week, and actually announcing that KPFA is going to be there on the streets with you. And we could even get Brian or Dennis or whoever, some bigger names out there to be on the broadcast, but we weren't even there at all on the terrestrial radio. And we're not reaching out to the communities that could help us, that we can help, and that would help us in the end by connecting us with their huge mailing list, their different organizations, 350.org, Indigenous Environmental Network, all these different organizations that we should be building up their events and then being intertwined in that way.
Okay, thank you. I think that's the more we cover over those are important issues to me and I think to all of us in here. I would say that we cannot do advocacy. KPFA can't do it as a 501c3. What we can do is we can broadcast things, we can announce them, but we can't rev up people to go and say, you should go to do this because that is a violation of CPP.
But actually, if we interviewed the people,
I'm just clarifying yeah. One aspect of what you said. Because
that's what we get from the program directors a lot, like Laura and, yeah. and them. But the problem is that...
Yeah.
There's a legal limit to what we can do, and we're just so far below that we're like way down below the table.
I'm gonna let
I feel like if we did connect to that more,
we should take that to the general manager. But go ahead, Donald.
So I totally support the idea, and we come back to what Richard just said a moment ago. How do you get from point A to point B? So, for example, there must be somebody at the station who receives all the PSA requests. Right? I don't know who that person is. Who is it? Oh, you guys do it. Oh, my goodness. So there you go. So you're already doing PSA. So what if you sent out a notice to all of these organizations that are planning, that are in motion, right? They're in movement. And you say, look, if you're planning something in the next 3 or 6 months and you want to get some publicity for it, let us know 3 months in advance. So we'll get you on the air, right? So again, you have to really think through the logistics of making this stuff happen. Otherwise, it doesn't happen.
And actually, this actually happened with the Bay Area Book Festival. We had somebody doing that.
Yeah. And Tim and then Steve, go ahead.
There's also ways, I think, to, we don't have to necessarily cover the rally live on the radio right at this moment. If you're already out there live streaming, post-produce some programming and make a special. Do the interviews while you're out there. Make a special. Find an hour to put it on the radio or on a podcast. There are steps between we're not covering it and it has to be live that could easily be done, especially if you're already out there.
I'm going to let it speak, but I wanted to focus because we were actually on fundraising and we've sort of segued into programming.
We have a media platform, which if used properly could raise tremendous amounts of money. So So how do we integrate our media platform with fundraising? Okay, that's what people ask. How do we use our media platform? And you can do it legally. Well, you know, one of the ways, I mean, the issues that face people in this country, education, for example. There's an education crisis. One of the things that we've done in the past is we had a day of statewide programming, and I think it's important to think about other programmers in other stations. It's not just KPFA who are doing this work. Have a day of programming on the crisis in public education. Get the unions, the education unions, to buy into it, to talk about the issues that they face, and have edited segments and have live programming around the state of California. Let people know about it ahead of time so all the unions could put it on their websites. Then you're getting an integration of our programming on that issue with a lot of different organizations, including major unions. That's a way of getting to them and saying to them, look, we are providing a service, a vehicle, to get these issues out for your membership. Okay, so the other thing is, as I agree with Frank totally, you know, when there are major events going on in the Bay Area and California, we need to be a part of them. That doesn't mean just tell people to go to the event. We have to work with the people who are organizing it, get their viewpoints, and if we can, have a live stream. And if
I think we've covered that several times in this discussion already. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we get that. We understand that. Frank was very eloquent about his statement about how you're going to do it is what.
Well, okay. Well, there are people already doing it. I mean, people are doing this programming. And Frank is doing it, I'm doing it, doing live streaming. Okay, so it's being done. And it's being done not by extra pay from the station, it's being done by people who want to do it. There are a lot of students who are doing it. A lot of students are covering stuff live. We have to work with these students, and we have to work with others, so we can have more of this on, and becomes a vehicle to raise money and support.
And let's move on from fundraising to outreach, and I was going to let Carol, because she's our outreach committee person, speak on it first.
No, we're done. That was the fundraising. We didn't talk about fundraising at all.
You talked about fundraising. You talked about something.
Yeah, you talked about programming.
Right.
For your program.
Right.
For your program.
So we're going to move on because we've kind of beat that horse.
Yes.
So we're going to go on with outreach. And Carol, you want to take that?
Okay. So can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want to encourage people to think about what you can do. And so a lot of us bring a lot of ideas, like what Richard was saying. I would like to pass around some motion papers and ask each person on this board, through this discussion that we're going to have about outreach, to write about what you are doing or what you would like to do to help with outreach. Now, Marianne is still here from the CAB, and I know that the Community Advisory Board put together a list of organizations that people suggested work with KPFA in different ways, and I think they're going to use their next CAB meeting perhaps to talk about some of the organizations that we need to do outreach with. And I think, how do we work with that? It's you guys in this room who do that work, or people who volunteer. I have a stack of papers this thick of people who have wanted to volunteer for KPFA in different ways. And it talks about volunteer in the phone room, volunteer with outreach at events, work on social media. So those are ways that people can help. We need, as a board, to help coordinate that work. You know, so if we're working with teachers, I've gone to the Retired Teachers Association and talked to them about KPFA. I mean, there's different ways that we can work with these organizations, and so I would like us to figure out, and if you have, you know, list the organizations that you have contact with and send them to me. and list the and your ideas for how you would like to contact those organizations. Maybe you want to, if you're a staff member, have them on your show. Maybe if you have a request for following through on some programming, talk to the program director and the station manager. So some of the different organizations that I think we want to be thinking about, and I'd like to hear, you know, your suggestions, is environmental organizations, social justice organizations, racial justice organizations, voter education campaign, labor organizations, healthcare organizations, economic organizations, youth and education organizations. So those are some possibilities. Please, it's all kind of like floating around. Let's try and get it organized so we can have a list of what are the key organizations we want to work with, and then we can make a plan about how to do that. And it isn't just like telling people what they should do. Now, recruiting interns. One of the most important aspects of KPFA is their training programs. There is a news training program that happens in the spring and in the fall, and sometimes in the summer. They can use, so people go in for 6 weeks, get trained several nights a week, and then they commit to working in the news department for 6 months. This is the news training. Now, it's separate from the apprentices. Then the apprenticeship has a program, and Frank can talk more about that. And 3 o'clock. Okay, well, are we not, do we not want to do an outreach report? I'm going to keep going unless Christina tells me to stop. I want to give you an overview. Okay, so there's interns. In production interns, we go to community colleges, and we go to different schools. Mostly we've gone to Berkeley Community College and recruited interns. And the Daily California, the media department at UC Berkeley, we need help recruiting interns. So if you have connections with colleges, please let us know so we can help reach out. You can, there is flyers about all those things. You can go to schools and talk about, you know, what our programs are doing and how to do it. KPFA has literature. We have program guides, which I will pass out. We create these program guides to distribute, and we distributed of the newsprint ones 5,000 last year, and now we have new program guides that are primetime programming, and we have a separate program guide for music, which is from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning. And we also have bookmarks, and programmers who are wanting to share about your programs, you can also develop flyers about whatever you're doing and give them to the, you can give them to the programming. I mean, you can give them to the outreach committee. Okay, so then literature, social, okay, social media. We have a new person, and this is amazing, a social media person at the station who is Vera, who works on social media. I encourage every single one of you to join Facebook or join Twitter and to like, share, and tag people on kpfa.org. And also join KPFA Twitter and follow it. There's also KPFA News. So at KPFA News is on Twitter, and at KPFA, and Richard, you can just write it in. Thank you. All right. Now, the phone room. At the phone room, it's often one person there, and I want to thank Susan DeSilva for going in, and everybody who has gone in to help in the phone room. every time that somebody calls in and there's nobody in the phone room, and the phone room was going to be canceled before, and the LSB asked for it not to be, but nobody goes. I mean, some people go, but it's hit and miss. So when people are not in the phone room, it goes to a call-in center, and they don't have the right information often, and it's problematic. So it's much better for us to have listeners in the phone room or staff people, and we need KPFA volunteers, and we need especially KPFA volunteers at KPFA events. So if you would like to have a table at an event, a KPFA table, let us know and we can provide literature for you and help with that. And Friends of KPFA, there are a few organizations called Friends of KPFA, and they support us. They distribute our literature to their members and groups. They use our premiums and have discussions about our premiums. And I have an idea for a KPFA cafe, maybe somewhere on University Avenue, where people could go to talk about some of the KPFA programming. So, and there's also the KPFA author events, which people attend. So please write it up, your suggestions. This is where the rubber hits the road, and I hope everybody will help. There is, at this time, not a lot of coordination of it. We're doing the best we can with very few people, so we need your help.
Okay, thank you very much. And Carol does so much on this. She deserves a big round. She works so hard on outreach, and this is critical. And thank you for putting all that together, Carol, and all you do, because getting out there in the community is so important, and she does that a lot. So we're going to move on to new business, and we have a motion that just came up under new business, and then when Daniel also has a motion to make, so you go ahead.
I actually meant to do this during the treasurer's report. Because we will have to be voting on our fiscal year 2020 budget, and the way the timing works out, this is the plan. We're going to have the budget handed out at the August LSB meeting. This is what we did last year. We'll hand out the budget at the August LSB meeting. We're going to set workshops between August, you know, after that, so that people can discuss and have a discussion about the budget, and then we'll vote on it. And we need to vote on it in September. So this is my motion, because we don't have a meeting in September right now. And we need to have a vote on it in September to get it to the PMB in order to pass it in a timely manner by the PMB. My motion is to move our currently scheduled October 19th LSB meeting to September 21st. That is my motion. Here you go, Carol.
Do I have a second? Having a second. Is there any discussion? The date would be moving from October 19th to September 21st.
Third Saturday.
Right, third Saturday. All those in favor?
Well, I'll give you guys 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11.
All those opposed?
One.
One opposed? Just put it away, contrary, that's what. And any any abstentions? The motion passes. Thank you. And Daniel, did you want to do your motion on underwriting?
Yes.
Microphone, could you? Let's do this.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, this has to do with where funds are going to come from. I passed out several copies of these. Did everyone get a copy? Well, yeah, could you? Well, you know, it's kind of a...
Could I ask you, could you make your motion and then you could speak on it?
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. The KPFA LSB asks that the general manager, ask the general manager to provide a statement explaining what sources of donations are deemed unacceptable by the station. Are any corporate contributions that the general are any corporate contributions that the general manager would consider acceptable? If some are acceptable and others not, by what criteria does the management decide?
Do I have a second? Could I suggest a friendly amendment? I would ask this is coming from higher up than the general manager, so I would suggest you insert executive director, because the question about that kind of funding is coming from up above. Would you be agreeable to that? Yeah. Thank you, Dan. So rather than the general manager, the executive director.
In effect, that we ask both, you mean?
Okay.
Point of information. Does this include premiums?
What? Pardon?
Does this include premiums like books, DVDs?
No.
Because those are donations given to the station.
Yeah, it never occurred to me that that would have anything to do with it.
It does. Do we want to amend it to exclude those?
Yes, possible friendly amendment, cash donations to the monetary donations. Well, but monetary still.
I mean, if I
get five
no, monetary.
Pairs of festival tickets, that has a monetary value.
I know.
Yeah.
Do I have a second? The friendly amendment was to exclude monetary donations. Is that correct?
No, to only have monetary donations.
Oh, okay. Is that acceptable as a friendly amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the new verbiage that you just added then? Let me see. Monetary donations. Okay. Do we have any more discussion? Go ahead.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the kinds of donations so that are non-cash donations or non-monetary donations, and whether those would affect decisions. So, say a big corporation was going to donate a big piece of property to KPFA, it has the same kind of effect as donating a bunch of money, and so that's why I'm not so sure about it being, maybe it just should be all donations, and if you wanted to limit it, perhaps the limit ought to be, with value more than some, so if it's not a particular, like it has a symbolic value or something like that, maybe you just don't, So I'm not sure how you would word it that way. There is a concern, if a corporation is giving, $600 tickets to plays in New York City to somebody, that can have the same effect as a cash a donation. So it's just, I think we ought to discuss it a little bit.
I think that if it's going to take a great deal of time, if people want more discussion, I would suggest we table it, because we still have to get two meeting dates scheduled. So because we have to vote on it and have a fully fleshed out discussion on it. It's not a problem. It's that people need to understand exactly what they're voting on, and it doesn't sound like we have clarity. You need to speak into the
point of clarification.
Go ahead, Donald.
First of all, your language here is not even about what the key issue here, which is about underwriting. That's the debate that's taking place between the national board and the executive director. So this motion really doesn't even address that. And by using the term donations, you're really putting all of our individual donors who donate money at risk. So it's in my mind, this motion is totally out of order at the present moment. So if we want to table it, that's fine, because these conversations are taking place at the national level.
There would be more clarity if we came up with it. I understand that. I just wanted to say I personally think there would be a lot more clarity around the issue if we just had a motion saying we are not in favor of any underwriting, because that would be completely clear. And I think, yes, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we pass a motion saying that we are against?
Yes, we did.
And so it's
yeah, we already have passed, but he's a new member, so he may not have noted that. But we already did pass a motion. I think it was even unanimous among the board that we oppose any form of underwriting, which is the key element right here. So, yes.
I have a question.
And Quincy put a statement on the website as well saying that, so he's already stated the station is against underwriting. Yes, Steve.
Yeah. It would be useful, and I don't know if we do, of having the motions or resolutions we pass on the website next to the local station board, so that people know what resolutions have been passed by this board. So if we can do that, then, you know, this is our position, whatever.
The minutes are posted that contain
no,
the
No, I'm talking about resolutions. Going through the
well,
minutes, everybody doesn't go through the minutes.
Again, it's like who's going to do that work? Are you going to do the work? Because that takes time and effort.
Well, we don't really pass a lot of resolutions, so I mean.
Well, you have to go. That's not the point. You have to go through all the minutes. Mm-hmm. We have to do a couple of really important things. Can I have a motion to table, mm-hmm. for now?
Table.
Thank you. All those in favor of tabling for now.
Table.
Please raise your hand if you say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And help people online.
Yeah. Let me.
Mm-hmm. But we're tabling the motion. He'll have ample time to discuss it later. We're trying to get this. We're trying to get schedule when mm-hmm. Quincy's here, in fact, too. But he did put something on the website. But go ahead, Daniel.
Yes.
So let's finish the table vote.
Well,
yeah. Anybody opposed mm-hmm. to tabling it?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
Okay. The motion fails. Go ahead.
Well. Specifically, I would like to get the general manager and the ED to say what kind of where would they accept funding from. And my concern is that I keep hearing things like corporate funding. I mean, people will say they don't want corporate funding, but then you hear it, it kind of gets in the air, and people, and we are desperate. So I would like the station master and the ED to simply spell this out in report. What is acceptable and what's not acceptable funding?
Okay, Susan?
I think this came about not because of underwriting, but because of the statement made in the last meeting by the development person, Brooke, about accepting grants from corporations. So it wasn't underwriting, it was grants. And so I think that the way Daniel wrote it is okay with the amendments, and I think we should just vote on it and get it done with.
Okay. Yes, Frank.
All right. I know we tried to add the friendly amendment and like it was monetary donations, but I think what he's trying to boil it down to is the corporate donations. So maybe if we put what sources of corporate donations, I don't know. Well, there is not right now, but there's been discussion about it. So if there was any, so.
Let's just vote.
Question.
Go ahead.
I got a question. So if so-and-so's law firm, they want to make a donation in the name of their law firm rather than as an individual donor, and their law firm is incorporated, is that a problem? Or if your film, whatever film you're working on. Yeah. So, all right.
I want to say that I'm uncomfortable with this because these are legal issues. I mean, there are trusts that are set up that people set up. Is that a corporate donation? I mean, we get those, but so So I think that it's better to table this and go into getting the wording, and so because we are not able to table it, I'm inclined to vote no against it, even though I'm strongly opposed to underwriting, because I don't perceive this as a helpful way to address the issue of underwriting.
Okay, just wait a minute. What I was going to say is I'm also strongly opposed to underwriting, but I don't think that we should go this route. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, instead of passing a motion, what I would like to do is give this question to Quincy and please ask him to address it in his next manager's report as best he can. We don't have to do a motion. We just hand it to him and say, can you please address this? And put it in his own words so that we don't have to go through all of those. Is that acceptable to you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. No, it's not the same thing. Thank you. He said it was acceptable, I think.
And the ED will be here like next week, so that's the right
person.
I would
suggest everybody do show up and ask the executive director that question. That's important that you're... He's asked for everybody on the board to show up, and if you can, that would be good. I'm gonna cut off discussion because Daniel said this was acceptable. It's like, it's okay. I sent an email out. So we are on. Where are we? Yeah, we were on. Oh, yeah.
You
want to
do it?
But.
We've just in effect agreed to this, so what it means is asking Maxie and Quincy to answer this. So who's going to do that then, if it's not a motion?
It doesn't matter who does it. It's not a motion. Any of us can. You could ask him. I plan on asking him.
Okay.
And I'm going to be there.
And we'll ask Quincy to put something in the next
report. Right, okay. So
I will.
So
I would imagine Daniel, hope you're there too, because Daniel will ask too. So I mean, we'll be asking. I'm not concerned about that. I already figured this is going to come up.
Right.
You know?
I'm glad that you're going to ask him on behalf of the LSB.
Okay. So let's move along. We have to look at when our retreat, and our retreat it would be orientation kind of for all the new members. It's not like a, no. We're in agreement that we're going to ask the questions that you said. We're in essential agreement as a group. So. We want to hold our retreat, especially for the new members. It really, I know it helped me tremendously when Carol Travis was the board chair. And it's a chance for us to get to know each other better and to discuss with each other in an informal setting. It's not a meeting like a local board meeting. It's just getting to know you kind of thing. And, you know, we can provide information on what some of the recent things that we did as a board are. But essentially, it's like it really helps us to interface with each other better. So we're looking at dates in July, and we wanted to get some suggestions. I got to look at my phone. It's July.
Now, how long do we think it's going to be? 2 hours, 4 hours?
Probably, you know, 4 to 6 hours, depending, you know. It won't be that long, but.
Can we do it by Zoom?
No.
Not Sunday the 21st.
Okay. We could do the 27th if people would be able to make that. That's a Saturday.
How about the 13th? How about the 14th?
Does the 14th work for people? During the day.
July 14th.
It's a Sunday. July 14th, Sunday. Right. Is that amenable for people, the 14th? Okay, let's go ahead with the 14th, and we'll have to research where it will be held and such, and the time.
What time do you think it's going to be in the afternoon? Otherwise, I can't make it.
What time can you make it? What are your availability times?
Like later on. Like you said, it's about 4 hours.
Right.
So, like later on. I would say no earlier than 2, probably closer to 3.
That's a little bit late to start.
I know. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Sorry. How about... Yeah, the 6th probably won't work for most people, right? Knew this was going to be hard. How about the 7th? Yeah, it is still 4th.
I will be... I can't do the 7th. I'm just saying this as a new person. That's why I'm literally speaking aloud. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. I would just defer to everybody else.
How about the end of June, maybe, then? Like, 29th? Does that work for people? We have to try to scramble to get some place.
Oh, for me... For me, it does.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe we should send a doodle out to get people to say which date, because this is too difficult. And then we'll get the majority of people's availability, and we'll do a doodle. This is too difficult. And Sharon graciously accepted doing a doodle. So, okay. And the other, it's a little loud. It's, yeah. Could you mute it or turn it down, please? Okay, and
the town hall.
So we also want to schedule a town hall. We were looking at August.
After
go ahead.
Okay, I would like to make a motion that I don't know. Okay, I'm not quite ready to make my motion. That we have the town hall meeting after the LSB meeting. In August, on August, I believe it's 17th. Hold on, I'm just trying to. Do you have it? Okay, I would like to make a motion that we hold our town hall immediately after the LSB meeting on August 17th.
Second it? Well, I can't. Do I have a second? Okay, I have a second. I would say that we did this last time, but we had an abridged meeting. So you wouldn't be sitting here till 3 o'clock and then have a town hall, just so you guys don't stress out.
Yeah.
Yes, Steve?
Yeah, I think having it back to back is too much, frankly. I mean, it's just hours and hours and hours. And, you know, it's not fair to our board members. It's not fair to the audience to have, you know, just, you know, coming there. The other thing is this, and that is I'm against having it again in Berkeley. I know a lot of people who live in Berkeley. But we have to expand our audience. People were talking earlier about how about getting a bigger audience or expanding the audience. Why don't we have it? We can have it in the South Bay. We could have it in the South Bay. We could have it in the North Bay. Have it other someplace than Berkeley. And that's part of the problem of our station, is people see this as a Berkeley-centric station. So I think that we should have it on not a day that we have our board meeting, and have it outside Berkeley, where we can get a new audience, new listeners, who we need to reach out to.
An alternative viewpoint, those of us who work full-time and have families don't have all the time in the world to continually put in a board member this weekend, a town hall that weekend, a task force this weekend, and a retreat that weekend. I can't give full-time to KPFA's town hall meetings and LSBs and stuff. So the idea to me of having them back to back makes it possible for me to attend. Otherwise, I'm not going to be part of it.
As someone who comes from Mill Valley, so I'm not right in Berkeley, I would prefer it be in Berkeley because it's easier. But many people are coming from different areas. I don't know that we're necessarily going to get a huge group of new people for a town hall. I would hope that we could get all the people that we could, but. I thought it worked out very well last time as far as timing, because we had a good audience participation, and it was a brief meeting, and I would prefer to have it somewhere where we're familiar with where to get the space. Go ahead, Carol.
So I got one form back about outreach from Marilla, and what I want to say is let's keep it simple with the town hall. Because if somebody wants to do outreach in the community, write it up where you want to go, other cities, other places. But let's keep it simple for the town hall, because we want to be able to organize it in a way that is workable for the people on the board to be able to hear. And we want to have, staff members be able to attend too. So
Just one last thing, maybe, then we can vote. I want to also remind people that we don't have very many required duties as the LSB, and one of them is to hold a town hall. So for many years, there was no town hall held, and we did hold the first one in many years last year after the LSB meeting, and it really did work, and we had a lot of people show up. And just to at least, you know, continue that, I really urge people to vote to do this so that we can fulfill our duty and hold the town hall meeting.
Thank you. On the vote,
Sharon Head.
The motion was. It was a motion to have a town hall meeting.
Yes. Oh, you want me to say it again? A motion to have the town hall meeting after the local station board meeting on August 17th, and it will be at the same location as the LSB meeting on August 17th.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor? All those opposed? One opposed. Did we have anybody, Noni and Shira and Tom? Were they able to vote?
FYI, I'm going to abstain because I probably will not be able to make that. I'm actually going to be moving to Arkansas for a year, and I will be traveling that weekend.
Okay. Tom, did Tom have a vote?
Tom abstained.
So two abstentions, it sounds like, and Noni. Okay, and there's one opposed. The motion passes. Okay. I think we're election forum. What was that? Are we through?
Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
Okay, you know what? We have task forces, but we've exceeded time, so we're going to move that to the next meeting. Thank you very much. You guys, we had a very good meeting today. I thought everybody was very respectful. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody on the phone. Goodbye.
Thank you, Frank.
What do we do with these things?
Thank you, guys. Give me to Frank.
Frank.
Give it to Frank.
Here.
Yeah, I can just leave them out. I know how to project, yeah.
But do you know
right?
Where you can pad is? Yeah.
No.
Okay. Document on the line, you know, like you do a pad at Verizon.com.
All right.
You need all of it in the document. You can type into it, but anybody can type into it as long as they got a file. Okay? So they project that up. They put the agenda on it. And whoever's running can add things to the agenda, whatever. So you can see what's going on with the agenda. Okay? And also, you can put a column there. And you could make a stack the person running the meeting, they're called it a stack, right? So you shouldn't have to do that. People just can put themselves in a stack, right? And then they could just be calming.
Well, that, I mean, it sounds good, but I did a whole board of that. It might be something to do to let her know about. Because all I'm doing is getting the free vote.
Yeah, but you're the technical guy, so, you know, if you don't.